You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
A story out of Egypt that I imagined really terrifying a lot of people, but especially Stugatz. Thunderstorms bringing scorpions killed three, injured 500. Explain to me what's happening there, what I'm not understanding about scorpions and thunderstorms and how it is that you can accidentally die and get wounded by scorpions in a thunderstorm.
Well, the reality is where it rained there, that area normally gets 2/100ths of an inch of rain a year. So this was totally out of the ordinary. And what happens is scorpions are arachnids. They live under rocks and in crevices. When the rain comes, of course, they get flooded out. And they've got to abandon that area, and they're all of a sudden crawling all over the place instead of staying under their rocks and under their little hidden tunnels. Unfortunately, in Egypt, general rule with scorpions is the smaller the scorpion, the more deadly it is. So it's kind of different than what you see with other animals. So, for instance, the king cobra is the largest, deadly snake in the world, very deadly, the only snake that can kill an elephant with one bite. But with scorpions, the smaller the scorpion, the more deadly the scorpion. So we had literally 500 and something people bitten and hospitalized by these scorpions because they're deadly. Now, three people did not die from the scorpion bites. The three people died from something else that had to do with the flooding and stuff. Nobody actually died from the scorpion bites, but they were in, critical condition, and they had to get antivenin for the scorpion bites because, again, all these scorpions now have kind of crawled out from under their rocks, so to speak, because of the rain being flooded out.
Ron, this almost sounds like a biblical plague. What animal would you be most afraid of there being a plague with?
What animal would I be most afraid of? When you think of plagues, you're always thinking of invertebrates, some type of insect, right? I mean, scorpions are pretty darn bad. I can't imagine the world, all of a sudden crawling with scorpions. The scorpions can reproduce at tremendous rates. You've ever seen mother scorpions? They have like tons of babies on their backs, and they could be crawling all over the place. And I've been, stung by a scorpion here in Florida, which is not a deadly scorpion, but man, it lit my butt up. So I would hate to think scorpions, because what they do is a lot of people get stung by scorpions when they like put on their shoes at night and they leave their shoes outside, because scorpions will go into shoes all the time. So people, put on their sandals or whatever, and they step in, and the scorpion stings them when their foot gets in there. Scorpions turn up everywhere, under pillows, everywhere. So that would be a horrible plague. I wouldn't be as upset with like locusts. You hear about the locusts all the time. Yeah, locusts eat all of the vegetation and such, can cause famine, but they're not going to kill you in and of themselves. As a matter of fact, people eat them. In Africa, you see them, they sell them on the side of the road. They dry them out, and they kind of fry them, and then they have them in bags, and you can buy them. So they're actually a source of protein. But scorpions, no, I don't like scorpions.
Ron, what's that feel like?
It feels like a wasp sting type times 10. It just really, it's a bad throbbing sting that feels like, you know, somebody's hitting you with a little hammer, and it hurts. It hurts a lot.
Can we do this, Ron, with you? Can you just list the things you've been bitten by or stung by? Can you just go through the entire list? How many? because there's a crocodile, right, or an alligator, yes?
Right, crocodile. Crocodile's gotten me. You know, I've been bitten, but not severely by, like, you know, young tigers, a bear, lots and lots of snakes. But the only venomous snake that ever bit me was a pygmy rattlesnake, and it wasn't even while I was working. I was actually horseback riding barefoot, jumped off my horse and stepped on it, and it lit me up. That was a horrible, horrible bite. I've been bitten by, I would imagine, several types of spiders. I've never actually seen them bite me, but I've had the bites show up on my hand or on the back of my neck, just, you know, crawling through forests and different types of things, environments like that, and have been bitten by them and only seen the results afterwards, so I couldn't tell you what types of spiders, but most likely spiders from all the symptoms that I had. God, I've been... But one of my worst bites was actually a hyacinth macaw bit me in my thumb, and that really hurts badly, and people think, oh, it's just a parrot. Man, these parrots are just so powerful. A parrot bite is one of the most painful bites you can have because it goes down to the bone. I mean, these things, you know, they crack Brazil nuts. So you can imagine the power they have in their bills, but people look at them and say, oh, they're cute little parrots. That's not, you know, it's kind of an embarrassing bite to admit to, but it's a horrible bite. Anybody who's been bitten by a parrot will tell you that. You know, lots of different types of birds. I mean, I working with birds have kind of pecked at me. Like I said, a lot of different types of snakes. A couple of lizards. I was bitten by a tegu pretty badly. An iguana got me pretty badly once. I don't know, you know. That's about it.
How many times should you have died, Ron?
It's a great list, Ron. It really is.
Well, No, the only time I really thought I was going to die was with a hippo in Africa. We talked about that thing, and with an elephant in Africa. Those are the only two times I really thought I was going to die. But they never bit me. They never even got in contact with me. But it was very close.
You get what you deserve when you go horseback riding with bare feet. The only people that do that are on the cover of romance novels.
It's unbelievable. Point, when Mike. He said that, thank Good you, Mike, point. Because you seem like such a leathery Lothario on a stallion jumping off of a horse and within your bare feet.
I grew up poor, first of all. I rode bareback. We rode bareback. We didn't have a saddle. Sometimes we
Hell
put
yeah.
a hat over the shoulder. And
baby.
No, I'm serious. I will say this, though. In high school, that was the best way to get a date, because I have never been able to ask a girl out on a date in my life, because I always was 100%
barefoot on a horse. Put it on the pole, Guillermo. Is barefoot on a horse the best way to ask a woman out on a date?
Times have changed.
No, you don't ask a woman out on a date. What I'm saying is, in high school, they knew I had a horse, and girls love horses. It's just one of those things. They love to go horseback riding. So when they found out I had a horse, they would say, oh, my gosh, can I come over to go riding? And I didn't have to ask. I said, sure. The only thing is I only have one horse, so we have to ride double, which means, you know, you ride in front of me and I have to – or you ride behind me and you have to wrap your arms around me. It was just a great way to
– A great time in your life, wasn't it, Ron?
Play.
It was a great time in your life is what you're saying. Yes.
It was a great time in my life. It really was a great time.
Yeah. Like a big smile.
Barefoot, look at him. Barefoot, dating Lothario, single man, jumping off of a horse, landing on a rattlesnake.
Yeah, that was not good. The rattlesnake part was not good, but the girls – You know, like I said, women love horses, and women tend to really—I don't want to say—I don't want this to come off wrong. They tend to really like guys who like horses because, you know, it's kind of like you have some compassion. You have
go on. Yeah.
Wait, were you on a date when you got bit by a rattlesnake? Because
no,
how did that
thank
go?
God, that would have been embarrassing. That would have been embarrassing. Oh. No, I was by myself.
It's been said that dinosaurs descend from birds. Does that mean some dinosaurs would have white meat? Also, which dinosaur would you like to eat the most?
Okay, first of all, it's birds that descend from dinosaurs, and
that's a fun.
Yes, I would imagine that dinosaurs would produce a good quality white meat. You know, much like you see in some of the reptiles today. You know, like alligator produces a good quality type of white meat. Gator tail is more of a white meat. I would venture to try almost any of the. I would venture to try the herbivores, not the carnivores. I wouldn't want to try a T-Rex. I would like to try maybe a brontosaurus, because that would be more equivalent to the herbivores, which I tend to feed on today.
Do you have Any working knowledge of why and how we have accurate access to what dinosaurs sounded like?
No, and I don't think we do have accurate access. I think this is all speculative, and I think, you know, as a matter of fact, I realized where they came up with the sounds for Jurassic Park when I was in Yellowstone during the rut, and when the elk bugles, that is the sound of the dinosaurs that they used in Jurassic Park. It said, I mean, I can't do it because it's just, I can't. Anyway, the bottom line, when you hear an elk bugle, listen to that and close your eyes and think of Jurassic Park in the forest. That's
really?
The sound.
I read that it was from turtles mating that they process that sound from.
Really? No. Turtles mating is more like, oh. That's not a dinosaur sound. The sounds you hear and I take that back. Turtles mating, depending on the size, like when if it's a little, that would be a big Galapagos tortoise. The bigger the tortoise is more of a good or. And then you have the little things like, you know, the Greek tortoise, and they go, like that. But it's not the sounds you're hearing in these dinosaur films. When you hear like those Godzilla sounds and stuff like that, listen to an elk bugle and try to imagine that resonating in the echo of a forest. That's exactly where they come down. That's all speculative. All those sounds you hear, that's all guesswork. There's nothing to document that or say what makes that sound.
Well, Ron, in Mike's defense then, dinosaurs could sound like turtles that are mating because we don't know what they sound like.
Mm-hmm. It could. You're right, Bill. That you're absolutely right. It could. But I'm just saying it's all a guess. There is no evidence to suggest they haven't found fossilized vocal cords or anything like that would suggest this is the sound that came from these animals. We do know that reptiles, birds, can be very vocal, and they have vocal calls. They have mating calls. So we can pretty, you know, confidently speculate that they did make sounds. But as what those sounds were like? No, that's a pure guess.
Actually, the internet has a pretty good archive of dinosaurs sound like. Right. Here's the first sound that comes to mind.
Yeah, never know.
Ron, what is the coolest thing in your house? Because I've seen skulls. He did sound healthier back then. I've seen skulls in your house. So you would say, what is the coolest item in your house from the animal kingdom or from history?
Well, for me, I have the skull that's almost a perfect skull of a 20,000-year-old extinct cave bear. And, I mean, it's perfect. I also have the skull that's almost perfect, all the dentition, the teeth, the enamel still there, of an extinct 20-million-year-old rhinoceros that used to roam the badlands of, you know, of the Dakotas. So those, to me, are really incredible because these are animals that lived, you know, in the rhino's case, millions of years ago. And when you touch that enamel on the teeth, and I don't know, I have a very, you know, vivid imagination. I try to think, what did this animal eat? When this animal was alive, I'm touching something here from millions of years ago that roamed the United States, a descendant of the rhino. You know, what did this animal see? What did it eat? What did it feel? That to me is fascinating stuff.
What are those worth?
There it is.
Just out of curiosity.
Oh, here we go.
He wants to steal them. He's going to figure out
what
how
are
to
they
steal
worth?
Them. We know you
and
wouldn't
where do
sell
you
them. We know that they're priceless to you. How did you get them, and what are they worth?
You know, my cave bear skull, I would think, because it's in such excellent condition, it's a matched upper jaw with the top, the mandible. It's in perfect. I would think it's probably somewhere between, I don't know, $15,000 and
$25,000. Wow.
How'd you get it?
Enough to be a golden gain.
How did you get any of these things?
I actually traded a bunch of other skulls that I had prepared. When I was younger, I would prepare all kinds of skulls of animals that died naturally. Nothing was shot or killed. I want to make that very clear. Okay, that's why you don't see any stuffed animals or any mounted things in my house. All the things I have are animals that have died naturally, and they're just bones. Because I think bones tell tremendous stories. They fascinate me. You know, I have the skulls of like hippos, rhinos, lions, tigers. I mean, I have the skeleton of a 14-foot king cobra. And when you look at that, you think, here's the only snake in the world that with one bite can kill a full-grown elephant. And I look at that, and it's so majestic to me. It's so incredible. So, you know, I get these things because over the years, I prepared lots of skulls, and there's kind of an underground of people.
Underground of dark skull people. I love that you're a skull trader. This is a legitimate secret society, not like that bullshit golden game thing. This is a secret society of skull traders that you're talking about, people who actually appreciate it. But you, that could be sinister. If I told a person who didn't know you, Ron McGill's a skull trader, they would think you perhaps a deviant.
Well, listen, you guys know my wife, Rita, and on the first time I was able to bring her to my townhouse, which I lived in at the time, as soon as you walk into the townhouse, the shelves were just filled with skulls, left up and down, like a whole series of primate skulls and stuff. She walked in, and I could tell by the look on her face was like, uh-oh, this was a mistake. She thought I was like into Santeria or something like that, something weirdly weird. Thankfully, she gave me a chance, and things worked out. But it was a very scary moment. She'll admit to you, when she walked into my house, that townhouse, on our first date, and I was able to bring her to the house, and she just went, uh-oh, this is a problem.
Ron, let's do this from the bottom up, from 5 to 1, in terms of bites and bullet ants and pains that you have felt in the animal kingdom. I want to rank Ron McGill's
ranking the bites,
top 5 bites / pains that you have felt.
Wow.
Whether it's the macaw, it's a big list. We've never gotten to it before.
I need to get a pen. Okay, hold on.
Okay. Yes,
I have one.
Okay. Okay,
Hold on. We're going to do this dramatically and with much fanfare, because this is 15 years in the making. You're one of our most popular guests. We're getting here to subject matter we have not done with you before. So we want to rank the bites here, and we're going to go from 5 to 1. And I don't know where the macaw is. That macaw thing sounded awful, but let's see what an alligator seems like it would be pretty bad too. You said the bullet ant is terrible. We've got plenty to pick from here. So
I got it. I already got it down.
Number 5, Ron.
Okay, number 5 would have been a young tiger. Young tiger.
What's the backstory there?
It was a tiger, it was about a year and a half old, and we were moving it, and I just got a little too confident, and it bit me. It was not happy, and it bit me in the fat part of the palm of my hand, and it kind of went all the way through, and it hurt a lot.
By confident, like too chummy with the tiger, thought.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just thinking, he's just a year and a half old. He's just a youngster. He's not going to be aggressive or anything.
Right.
And, I didn't listen. My own rule, and that is, you can take an animal out of the wild. You never take the wild out of the animal.
Number 4, Ron.
That's going to be the macaw, I think.
Holy shit!
At macaw number 4.
Is number 4. So it bit through your fingernail, did it not?
It went through my fingernail, and the two ends of the jaw met in the middle of my finger to the bone.
Okay, so to the bone. So, yes, that would be terribly painful. And how do you shake that off? Like, is that a quick snip, or does it lock in there, and all of a sudden you've got to pry a macaw off your hand?
No, I freaking shook my hand and shook it off my finger, and it fell on the floor.
Number 3.
That is going to be the crocodile bite.
That's where you met your wife. It was worth it. How did that happen?
I was actually handling a crocodile, filming a television commercial, and again, young, overconfident, cocky, and careless. And I got bitten. I will say that the post-treatment care was the most painful. But as far as the bite itself, at the time it happened, it was painful, but not as painful as number 1 and 2.
What was the post-treatment care? What was it?
It was just because the bites went through my joints. They didn't. I had surgery to take little pieces of bone out, but then they had to clean the joints all the time, and they would take a water pick and put it into the joint and flush it with the water pick. Without any anesthesia, it was like I had my finger in a light socket. It was horrible. It's horrible.
Number two.
I'm going to go. God, this is a tough one. I'm going to go with the bullet ant.
Holy shit.
Really?
Really?
Upset.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was horrible. It was horrible. It really was. It really was.
Why?
That was just... Stugatz, imagine putting your finger onto a red-hot burner on the oven and then someone taking a little hammer and keep on hammering it on top of that burner.
For how long? How long did that pain last?
That went on for like, the intensity of it went on for close to half an hour. It felt like a full day. It was like, where you cry and you vomit. The pain is so bad, you vomit. It's that bad.
And so there's something worse than that. This is a stunner of a list right now. That the bullet ant beats the tiger and the alligator.
The pygmy rattlesnake. It felt so bad. That felt like somebody took a branding iron to the heel of my foot and kept hammering it with a sledgehammer. That was just horrible.
How did you land that way? Was it? Did you land right on its head? Did you land on like?
No, I stepped on its. I stepped on its body, and it just reached around and bit the heel of my foot.
All right, Ron.
And I tell you what, it only bit me with one fang. And you know, those types of bites are not as, generally speaking, they don't release as much venom as they do, for instance, when they're hunting to eat. They want to always conserve their venom. So that was just. I can't imagine what a full bite would have been like. I mean, and this is a pygmy rattlesnake, the smallest of the rattlesnakes here in the United States. But, man, I got to tell you something. I was crying like a little wench. I was just, oh, my God, that hurt so bad.
Ron, this hasn't happened to you, but where would Roncula's bite land on this list?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Central retired. We must say retired
Roncula. Let me tell you something. Uh-oh. No pain, just pleasure there, brother. Nothing but pleasure.
Maybe. No pain.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, Ron. We will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Take care.
See you, Ron.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Dan Le Batard.
We just got to change the language up because challenge just sounds contentious. Let's call it a politely disagree.
Ooh, how about this? An oopsie.
There you go.
All right. Put it on the poll. At Le Batard Show, should a challenge be called an oopsie to placate the referee's ego?
An oopsie flag.
Stugatz.
Or the red flag. The challenge flag should not be called a challenge flag, or the flag should say on it, love your butt.
Red is also an aggressive color.
Very, very aggressive.
Maybe pink.
We should actually, we should have them throw daisies and call them whoopsie daisies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a good idea.
Whoopsie daisies.
Yes. This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Stugatz, I've got a conundrum on my hand, something that has not made an appearance very often in my television viewing habits. I think I'm like most of you in that I'm getting a little overwhelmed by the amount of streaming options and content options, and so I am, by word of mouth, basically programming my television on things I need to be checking in on.
Right.
And I just learned that there is a television show called Yellowstone with Kevin Costner that is the most popular show going right now, bigger than The Walking Dead.
First time I'm hearing of it.
This is the part that's puzzling to me. It is said to be the most popular show on cable television, and yet I don't hear anybody talking about it. Nobody in my world is recommending Yellowstone, which I guess is Peacock, Paramount. It's in its fourth season. Kevin Costner is doing television, And it's got a Western feel. I just saw a great Western this weekend. O. Henry, I think is what it was called. I thought it was exceptionally well done. It's a movie. It's you know, about an hour and a half, and it's entertaining. It's not a series.
I think that's a candy bar.
Thank you.
An underrated one.
It
is.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo.
Dan got Choco drunk again.
At Levitard Show, is O. Henry an underrated candy bar? Because I don't think it's an underrated candy bar. I think it's an overrated candy bar. It does not belong in the discussion with the candy bar greats.
I don't think you can be an overrated candy bar if you don't get it on Halloween. If you don't get it on Halloween, are you even a candy bar?
Well, this is what I'm saying. I believe that Stugatz just wanted to say the candy bar joke and always wants to be here for an underrated and overrated conversation. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he actually thought this through. I don't think he's got any strong opinions whatsoever on the O. Henry bar. What is in the O. Henry bar? Did you just look it up? Mike, can you look at his computer to see if he just looked up some
Mike can look all he wants. Go ahead.
Some O.
What
Henry.
What he finds is a Mr. Good bar that's on my screen right now. Here's the problem with the O. Henry bar. It checks off all the boxes for me. It's got chocolate. It's got peanuts. I like that combination. It's just not the best of that category. The best of that category is Mr. Good Bar.
No, the best of that category is Snickers.
We disagree, okay? I think it's Mr. Good Bar.
So guys, nobody is saying that Mr. Good Bar is better than Snickers. Come on.
I'm saying it, okay? So, no, to me, Snickers falls in a different category.
What category? You just said chocolate
Snickers
and peanut butter.
Snickers has caramel in it. There's a caramel category, and Snickers has that in it. Mr. Good Bar, it's like chunky. Right? The chunky bar. The chunky bar has raisins, nuts, and chocolate. Mr. Good Bar just has nuts and chocolate. O. Henry has nuts and chocolate, but it's thicker. I think, and I like thinner. So Mr. Good Bar, to me, is the best of that category. How about that for a breakdown? Huh?
I think
you thought I had nothing on O. Henry, and I had something on O. Henry. Huh?
I think O. Henry is the flea market version of this category. I believe that it is a candy bar that people listening right now in our audience do not have a passionate opinion about. We should go to our food expert, Chris Cody, to find out how he generally feels about the O. Henry bar, because I never hear, much like the television show Yellowstone with Kevin Costner, I never hear anybody talking about the O. Henry bar. I think the Baby Ruth might be a more popular, although is that your caramel category?
That kind of falls into the Snickers, you know, that kind of category where, you know, the O. Henry is just straight chocolate with some peanuts, and that's it. It's just, for me, it's not as good as a Mr. Good Bar.
Is the O. Henry bar the Sacramento Kings of the chocolate and peanut category, and a perpetual underachiever, a perpetual team or candy bar that you're never thinking of?
I think you guys are messing with me, and that's not even a real candy bar. I've never even heard of an O. Henry bar. I've heard of a Mr. Good Bar. A Goodyear bar? What the hell is it called? I've never had one of those.
Mr. Good Bar.
I've never had that. I've heard of that one.
Delicious.
Never even heard of the O. Henry bar.
I believe the O. Henry bar is trying to get your attention with an exclamation point, which is desperation. I believe O. Henry is with an exclamation point.
Let me see what this
point
looks like. Maybe
it should
I've
be a question
before
mark. Oh, Henry?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Henry? That. Baby Ruth, by the way, lacks structure. I don't like it. Little too sloppy on the presentation.
Yeah, flaky. Things are falling off everywhere.
These O. Henry
nuts here, there, everywhere.
These O. Henry bars are not at gas stations around here. I do not recognize this.
You got to dig deep for the O. Henry bar. You
where?
Do. You got to really look around. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, you got to really search. I'm not certain it's in every gas station.
It looks good. In your defense, looking at it, it looks like something I'd enjoy.
Wait a minute, but why would you like the... You can't say the Baby Ruth has got too much flakiness. And what did you say, Billy?
It lacks structure. So, I need a clean presentation on my bar. Have you ever watched a cooking show? It's all about plating. And the Baby Ruth, a little too sloppy for me.
Well, Butterfinger also sloppy.
It's no.
Yeah, flaky.
It crumbles.
The presentation is good.
You can't eat a Butterfinger in your car because it gets everywhere.
But the presentation is good, Billy's right. It gets sloppy as you eat it. The Snickers bar is compact and perfect. If you want to know the truth.
Yes.
Snickers bar. Compact,
perfect. I do want to know the truth, and I thank you for offering it, Stugatz.
You got it. Always here for the truth, Dan. Except when I'm not.
the baby Ruth, you're accusing it of being turdy. Are you not? Lumpy? Are you saying it disintegrates, it falls apart as it's going, Billy? I want to understand the nature of your accusation.
I'm not even saying that it falls apart. I just don't like the presentation. I like clean sides, clean top. I want to bite into it and be surprised. There, I kind of see what's going on. Right. I wouldn't have said turdy, but listen, you brought it up, and I don't know that I can dispute it. I wouldn't have gone there, but I'm looking, and, you know,
it's sloppy.
Seen that somewhere before. Yeah. You know?
But I wouldn't call it. I would not call it sloppy necessarily. I would call it more lumpy. The baby Ruth
not constructed well. Then
is baby Ruth has to be a first ballot Hall of Fame
no
chocolate
chance.
Bar. No
first ballot. You're insane.
First ballot.
That's crazy talk. First ballot. Third,
well, it's
maybe
from my childhood, the baby Ruth. And now keep in mind, I imagine I'm not applying America's sensibilities.
No,
here.
I think you're right, Tim.
I'm just saying from my childhood.
Like what's next? You're going to say Three Musketeers? I mean, geez.
Yeah, Three Musketeers might get in. Oh, I don't like it, but it might
ballot,
get in.
Overrated.
It might get in. Listen, there are old candy bars, just like there are old baseball players who probably shouldn't be first ballot. But we didn't know what we were doing back then, okay? Now, the Milky Way, if you rethink it, in today's Hall of Fame, probably not a first ballot Hall of Famer, okay?
It's like kids playing with a fire truck. Candies today, toys today, bigger, faster, stronger. Get the Three Musketeers, Baby Ruths out of here.
I don't disagree. The Baby Ruth, first off, don't disrespect the Baby Ruth, okay? It's a very good candy bar. It's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Everything can't be first ballots, you guys.
Well, no, but do you agree a Hershey's bar is first ballot?
I think Hershey's bar is vastly overrated.
Really?
Well, I think what's happened here is there has been, I think you had it classified properly when you said we've learned how to do measurements, things have gotten bigger, stronger, and faster, and you and I have been aged out on candy bars because I'm willing to reject, I'm willing to say right now that the Three Musketeers and the Hershey's bar, the Hershey's bar, they are overrated because they're from a different time. And Milky Way, though. Come on, man.
We're getting way ahead of ourselves. Hershey's bars. Let's close the door on that. Hershey's bars are more of an ingredient than they are of a candy.
The sequel is better.
Hershey's bar are most known for being part of a s'more than they are for being a candy bar you'd eat on your own.
But if we're doing baseball players or Stugatz's analogy, Hershey bar has to be like Ty Cobb.
Right,
like,
the original. I mean,
Hershey's bar was one of the first.
It gets in out of respect, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
More than merit. More than merit. It just gets in on name and it gets in on history. It gets in on innovation and pioneering.
No, it's like in the early stages in a museum on aviation where you see the ones that just kind of like would hop off the ground and look like fans. You're like, what the hell is that thing? Well, it's the best that they could do at the time. That's a Hershey's bar.
I feel like it's the same thing for the Three Musketeers. I've never liked Three Musketeers,
but
throughout my childhood, Three Musketeers would have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I respect the hell out of it. Don't like it, but respect the hell out of it.
Good packaging. Yeah. That silver, shiny. It draws your eye. You say, you know what? I want to try that. You bite into it. And listen, Mr. Musketeers, all three of you, I don't want to offend you. You bite into it, a lot of nothing. It's literally just fluff inside of it.
It's fluffy nothing. You're so right about that. But that's not true of the Milky Way.
Did I miss the bar when I took a bite? No, it's there. It's in my mouth.
But the Milky Way, I don't believe that you can dismiss the Milky Way the same way that you guys are dismissing Hershey's.
Milky Way Midnight is better than Milky Way.
What is that? I don't know the
midnight. Dark chocolate. Yeah, midnight. Milky Way, meh.
What are your first ballot Hall of Famers? If you're only allowed, since you're making the rules.
How many do I get?
Let's say 10.
10? Oh, my gosh. That's a lot.
I mean, is it a lot? First ballot Hall of Famers?
Basketball
the
Hall
history
of Fame here, everybody's
of,
getting in?
The history of chocolate? What do you want? You want five? What are Billy's? You're saying Baby Ruth's not a Hall of Famer because you're. That's
not first ballot, third ballot, or Veterans Committee. Telling you, not first ballot.
Who are your first ballot chocolate Hall of Famer?
Snickers, easy, boom. How many am I getting? I'm not going to do 10. That's too many.
How many? You asked me how many I put in. I say 10. You rejected. How many would you like to put in? How many?
Four.
Four. You're saying there are only four first ballot Hall of Famers in the history of chocolate bars.
I've just got a general bone to pick with the Three Musketeers.
Oh,
because they're always referred to as the Three Musketeers, even though there are four of them.
There
like
are?
It's like the Big Ten Conference. Hold yeah,
on
people always
second.
Sleep on D'Artagnan.
Wait a tick.
You can't sleep on D'Artagnan. So they were a unit But the story is about D'Artagnan becoming a musketeer. So by the story's end, there are four musketeers.
You have been suspiciously sitting out some of this conversation. How do you feel about...
I've been thinking about this. I'm just so happy that we finally get to cross the streams here.
Are we talking about chocolate or are we talking about something else?
No, we're talking about literature. What are you guys talking about?
We're talking about chocolate right now.
Milky Way is not a first ballot Hall of Famer to you?
Not to me. I wouldn't vote for it. That's not to say that it won't get in. I wouldn't vote for it.
So what else are you putting in?
Snickers, easy, boom. Yes.
Snickers, I think, is a consensus first ballot holder.
I do always forget about D'Artagnan.
It's everyone does.
My personal preference, I'd put Reese's in there, number two.
That's not a chocolate bar.
Well, what are we doing? We're just doing chocolate, aren't we?
Well, no. But
bar?
Well, we're just doing bars, right? We're not putting Skittles. We're not putting Starburst.
We're just doing chocolate bars. Kit Kat's not a bar.
Is the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup a bar?
No, that's what he just said.
Steve Martin's a prop comic.
Listen to the show, Stugatz.
Well, there's an actual candy Hall of Fame that I'm looking up right now.
Every candy's in there, I bet you anything. Every candy's going to be in there.
I'm checking it.
You know what's going to be in there? Those little plastic wax things that you bite into that looks like a soda can and then it squirts into your mouth. I bet you that's in there.
Is the Twix a first ballot? The Twix a full first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes. Yes.
Kit Kat.
Left or right?
Yes, Kit Kat.
Well, Billy's not giving us anything. Billy's one of these snobby elitist voters. He's not giving us anything.
No, it's
not
snobby. No, no. It's everything can't be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Put your name
on. But you've just said Snickers is the only thing. You haven't given us a second one. Do you not have a second?
Well, because now we're doing bars. I didn't know we were just doing bars. They were doing chocolate candy.
How about
Kit Kat? Is Kit Kat a bar?
What about a York peppermint patty?
Oh, gross. No. Get peppermint
it's
out
a patty.
Of
it's not a bar. Yeah.
Ugh.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Do you hate the York peppermint patty?
How do you eat it?
No, I don't like it either.
Get over yourself.
I don't eat it.
There's only one way to eat a York peppermint patty. It's by opening up the wrapper slowly, then taking it out, and then throwing it directly into the nearest trash can.
That's right. It's perfect for a mini bar.
I don't like mint and chocolate. Do you guys like that from ice cream?
Absolutely not. Not for me.
You don't like mint chocolate chip?
No, I don't like anything. I don't need mint with my chocolate. Chocolate is fine enough without adding mint. Mint is fine enough without adding chocolate.
I am with you. I am telling you we're probably alone. It's like me and you and maybe a couple of other people.
Nobody here in the room likes the York peppermint patty. Nobody here.
I'm talking mint chocolate chip ice cream, though. That's what I'm talking about.
This is a whole other conversation. We're doing ice cream?
Billy, we're not doing ice cream.
Can you believe mint is a leaf? That's crazy, right?
As opposed to what?
I don't know. It's always like in candy or it's like hard. You look at a mint, a peppermint, for example, right? Is that a leaf at one time? Am I missing how we make mints?
I don't know how we make mints.
Neither do I.
I'm surprised that you didn't know that mint was a leaf, like in a drink or in an ingredient
Doesn't chocolate also come from a plant?
I'm wild. I don't believe that.
What are your first ballot Hall of Famers? You've given only one.
Everything I'm telling you, you're telling me is not a bar. Snickers, boom. Now I told you Reese's, you said ineligible. I said, okay, fine. Kit Kat, is that okay? And if you say no to Kit Kat, I'll give you Kit Kat Big Kat because Kit Kat Big Kat is bigger than Kit Kat.
Yeah. Kit Kat's a bar?
Yeah, Kit Kat Big Kat is like an actual bar. That's delicious.
And
it's
said,
like a brick.
Bar, yeah. And you said to Twix?
No, Twix get in.
So that's
second
three.
For me,
that's three. A second ballot for you on Twix?
Nah, Twix will get in. We'll let Twix in.
And so do you have a fourth now? Is there a fourth candy bar that you are willing to allow?
I hold my vote. I don't think that I'd vote 4 in just because I had to, you know?
You're just holding that vote.
Yeah, I think so. Rainy day.
Are any of you upset in the audience, Stugatz? This was something that I saw was making the rounds very briefly and a little bit too quietly. I know that we've made fun of Greg Cody over the years when he has asked the cliche-soaked question of should steroid-tainted guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens get in the Hall of Fame. But you do realize this is Barry Bonds' last year on the ballot?
Is it really?
It would appear they're going to keep out the best baseball player that I've ever seen in my life. It would appear that they are going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame because he hasn't been able to get the number of votes. A baseball player who would have made the Hall of Fame long before his body started changing on any of this stuff. You can have an argument about best baseball player you've ever seen, but he's in anybody's top five, history of the sport, history of our most historic sport, and you're only keeping him out arbitrarily because you assume that he used steroids during the cheating age.
He would have been first ballot, right? I mean, he had three MVPs with the Pirates before he went to the Giants.
Before his body changed.
I was already thinking before Bonds went to the Giants that I am watching one of the greatest baseball players of all time, if not the greatest baseball player I've ever seen. Then he went to the Giants and did things that were, I mean, we've never seen them.
73 right. home runs, things that were steroid addled. If you believe some of the stories, he saw, he and Griffey both saw McGuire and Sosa taking over the sport with their home runs and their medicine. And Griffey decided they had a choice about what it is they were going to do. And Barry Bonds did not like that lesser players to him, Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire, were stealing his sport from him when he was clearly better. So he got tempted by the stuff that they were using, and Ken Griffey did not. Ken Griffey obviously gets into the Hall of Fame easily. Barry Bonds, it looks like, is going to get kept out.
One took the path that would extend their career. The other one was seen napping in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And body was ravaged by injuries as well.
Yeah. And perhaps Three Musketeers.
And he aged. Yeah. He aged the way that baseball players throughout time before the pharmaceuticals always age.
It's kind of sad, though, because if you watch Barry Bonds, everyone knows what you were watching. Steroids, no steroids. Same with Clemens, same with A-Rod. You were watching some of the greatest baseball players that have ever lived. And to have a Hall of Fame and not have those guys be in that Hall of Fame, to me, in a sport that used to be my favorite sport growing up, is kind of sad. It just is. For whatever, I don't know why it bothers me so much, but like, can we not look past what Bonds did and realize that before he did any of that stuff, he was still one of the greatest baseball players we've ever seen? And we have no earthly idea what these other guys, we don't think Griffey did anything, but we don't know.
We don't know. Look, I've told you guys before, Guillermo Mota, one of the skinniest players in the big leagues, ended up being someone I think who was suspended twice. D. Gordon, who was fast and never hit for power, was suspended once. Billy, do you care at all about this? Do you care? Yeah. When you think of Barry Bonds, do you care at all that
he's... I'm
not
losing any sleep over
it. Understood, but you don't lose over sleep over the things in sports.
You know why I'm losing sleep? My pillow sucks.
Mm.
We don't need to get into
it. I recently switched from a two pillow to a one. I'm now a one pillow guy. You know that there's these pillows that you can like
the body pillow.
Do you guys sleep on your side?
Yeah.
I have this new pillow that's meant for to be on your side.
A little really. Between your legs.
This will be
and
the most
that,
interesting right? nugget of the week for
side,
sure.
Side sleepers?
Yeah.
What is it called? Let me see.
How many pillows do you use? What's the right? I used two pillows.
Right, right.
I use two pillows.
Under your head. Two pillows under your head?
Yes, my wife has about 40 pillows on the bed.
Decorative or?
I mean, yeah. There are like 30 decorative pillows, and then there are the 10 other pillows that we use, two of which I get.
I just thank you guys in advance for a week's worth of IG ads regarding pillows now.
Yeah.
I sleep on my right side because I feel like it puts less strain on my heart. I feel like if I sleep on my left side, that all the stuff going on my right side is like coming down and putting pressure. Because you know, your heart's
so you
on the left
like
side.
You feel like you're sleeping healthy? You feel like you're sleeping healthy?
You might be overthinking it. I mean,
Mike, are you not disturbed at all that very casually you just lobbed out there the fact that our devices are listening to us? I know I keep bringing this up, but I don't think that this needs to be normalized. I don't think the people in our audience who are shrugging their shoulders about every time they pick up their phone or their computer, they are seeing things that have been targeted to them because they're walking around their house talking about stuff, and then all of a sudden they're being advertised to on what their secret desires are privately expressed in their home. This can't be normal, Mike.
Well, I do think that they're listening to us, but part of it too is if you're connected to a Wi-Fi in which someone was Googling a lot, like we may get chocolate advertisements because in this segment we talked a lot about chocolates. So you might see that pop up there. But it's almost instantaneous. Look, I'm going to do it to the audience right now. Trust me.
Careful.
Over the next week, your IG is going to be so inundated with sauces, specialty sauces. You're not going to get enough of those IG ads advertising to you directly. All sorts of sauce.
What are specialty sauces?
New York streetcar sauce, truffle hot sauce.
Nice.
Yeah, you're going to get it all because I talked about it.
I have a strategy for that.
What?
Just be boring 80% of the time intentionally, and then whoever's listening to you will be like, this is not a person worth listening to. So like just go through your day and your life having a series of mundane conversations that lead to nothing and nowhere. And then whoever's listening will eventually get tired of listening to you. And then you can sneak things past them.
Well on our way.
Is it boring that you want to go with it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to start talking about around your devices that you're cheap, that you don't, you're never spending money on anything, that you refuse? Like, do you want to run them off by lying to them about your spending?
No, because I feel like if you kind of seem to be cheap, then they think like you'll have more money to spend and inundate you with more things, right?
He's overselling it.
Yeah,
right?
Where if you're just boring or weird, they're like, I just don't want to listen to this person anymore. I've been there.
What's the most boring conversation we can have? I mean, outside of the Griffey Bonds thing that we try to get.
We were talking about candy for a little bit.
We could go back to which side you lay on.
Yeah.
You don't want to have too much pressure.
How it affects your heart. Yeah.
So you feel your heart jiggle from one side to the other as you flip over and try to protect your heart from what?
Have you ever gotten like a muscle strain in the chest and been like, oh God, this is the big one?
All the time. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Duh. All the time. Yeah.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.